bless you. We'll have a good time with him sing tonight. He referred to this song this morning, so why don't we take our first song and do number 29 in the hymn book. This is My Father's Will. So we'll do that one first, and then we'll get it on.
Pastor Reddick, so that's available to you as well.
The other announcement I gave this morning is there were leftover desserts from the year-end banquet that were not perishable. They disappeared. However, there are still a couple left in the refrigerator downstairs that are perishable. So if you would like to grab those, please go downstairs and grab that, okay? So maybe some of you who weren't able to be here for the year-end banquet would still like to sample some of what was brought, and that might be a good plan. So might even do for a little snack when you get home from church tonight. So that might be good. All right. So the other major announcement is February 5th will be the celebration of the 41st anniversary of the church. So that'll be a good time. Like we've done in the past, we will have normal Sunday school and morning service. Then we will have our dinner following that time, so we'll all be bringing food along. And then following that dinner, it will be an afternoon service, and that will be it for the day. Okay? So there will be no evening service that night. We'll just have normal Sunday school, morning service, the dinner, and then an afternoon service. All right? So trust you'll come out, and we'll have a good time. And hopefully Pastor will give us some more stories of what happened in the early days of the church. That would certainly be good. And maybe some others of you who were here then can tell us some more stories. It's, whenever we recount what God has done for us in the past, that always helps us to see in the future. We still have the same God. He hasn't changed. And so the blessings He gave us then are still available for us now. So I trust that we'll take that as an opportunity. All right, I believe that's it on announcements. Why don't we, since we have the sheet, the Heaven Medley, why don't we do that right now? And following this, we'll get to the actual hymn singing part of the service. Now, please do not hold on to these sheets. I need them back at the end. We're keeping them for future times to use. So please, we'll collect those at the end of the service, but I need those back so that we can use these again. All right, please. Now we can go on to whatever songs you would like to sing. So, okay, I saw Margo first. Go right ahead.
259 in the hymn book.
Okay, 259 in the hymn book. 259.
Thank you.
7. We sang that one this morning. Very good. 8:12.
Thank you.
183. All right. Hymnbook or course book?
Hymnbook.
Okay. 183.
Thank you.
was when Brother Jeffco was here and he substituted for you. And he did a Sunday school lesson of a Song of Solomon. And we sang that song and it fit right in with his message. I don't know if you remember that, Pastor, but it was good. And yeah, those last two verses are hard to get through. But it's such a blessing to sing a song like that. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
515 in the hymn book.
Okay, 515.
Thank you. Some good singing tonight, I'll tell you. Exodus chapter number 19, if you would, please. Exodus chapter number 19. I think I am on, right? Yeah. Exodus chapter number 19. Boy, I'll tell you, them songs, boy, they stir you up, amen? Yes. That's a good thing about singing the Lord's songs, amen? Sometimes it's singing the Lord's songs in the, what's that?
It beats the new song.
Yes, it does, amen? But some of that newfangled stuff has nothing in it. It's empty. In fact, me and Brother Jason and Brother Bill were talking about that today. Some of the new stuff that's coming out. One brother used to call it 7-11 music. Seven stanzas sung 11 times. And, you know, our hymn book, these hymns come from the heart and they reach the heart. I mean, most of the hymns are born out of sorrow. Amen. And some of the ditties that go on today are just more like, you know, everything's, you know, just upbeat only. Amen. And there's really nothing to them, no substance. But I'll tell you, these hymns are wonderful and chock full of doctrine. I mean, you're just reinforcing things. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I sit there and we're singing hymns, I'm going through scriptures. I'm going through, you know, many different things. And it's just kind of, you know, a blessing, to be honest with you. But anyway, I almost didn't want to stop singing, amen. And but we need to just open the word just for a little bit, amen. I'm going to try to be brief, and that way we can maybe get a couple more hymns in there, amen. Two great things we have. We got a hymn book. H-I-M, amen. And then we got a hymn book. Just give me two hymn books, amen. And we'll be good, right? What one school says the Bible's king and the singing's queen, amen. And that's the important thing, isn't it? Exodus chapter number 19. I want to, this was laid on my heart last year. So I've been carrying this, you know, since last year on my heart. When the preacher called me and, you know, I had a message ready to go because I've been meditating on that, you know, being purposed. And I did have the other one that I've been preaching recently. And then I thought, Lord, what is your will? And this message came to my mind. So I hope and pray that the Lord is in it and it'll be a help and a blessing. Talking about the 41 years next month. And the brother leading the singing talked about how, you know, the preacher will get up and kind of look back. You know, and just see how God did what he did. Amen. In fact, that it's scary sometimes looking forward. But when you look back, it helps you to be able to look forward. Like he said, I mean, looking back, we see what God did. Amen. Which is just reiteration of what he can do and will do. Amen. And then even that song, the one brother, be still and, you know, my soul, you know, what the Lord has done, he'll do it, you know. And so I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on this topic, winging it. Winging it. Today, it's a term that says, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? You know, it's almost like, you know, let me lay the foundation. Let me introduce the thought. The term winging it to us means this, to improvise, to perform with little or no preparation. And I'm not talking about some of this, don't study your Bible, get up and whatever the Lord says. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're in a situation you've never been in before. We have no idea what to do or how to even do it. In fact, we don't have enough to do it. Amen. You're in that type of situation. And by the way, sometimes the Lord actually puts you in that type of situation. So you get that kind of attitude like, I don't have it. We don't have it. So we all better look up and see who's got it. Amen. In fact, we know who's got it, right? Let me just say this. The term winging it is a theatrical term, actually. It comes from the 1800s, and what it does, it describes actors who played a role without completely knowing everything that they needed to know. And what would happen is that they would need somebody to get out there on stage and to be a part of a play or whatever it is, and they would just kind of get a last minute thing. They would kind of rehearse a little bit, and they're pretty much thrown out there to do what they got to do. The term winging, it comes from this. In the wings behind the stage, you can't see, but there are people helping that person to know what to say, to know what to do. Nobody else can see it, but this person can. And so winging it means this. You're thrown out on the stage of life. You got a role to play. You don't know how to do it. You don't have it all together, if you will. Amen. And what you have to do is you have to look to the unseen one. You have to look to the unseen hand. I don't know how many people ever heard that song, Guided by the Unseen Hand. And that's one of them. Behind the wings, if you will, God is there. Amen. You and I are put on the stage of life and we got roles to play. And in and of ourselves, we know we don't have everything it takes to be everything we ought to be and to do everything we ought to do. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to wing it. We're going to have to do what God wants us to do, looking to Him for the guidance, for the direction, for everything else. Amen. You get that one? Spiritually speaking, winging it is the essence of someone who doesn't have it all together. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. But he looks to and depends on the only one that does. Amen. In fact, I'm not going to do it for the sake of time, which I don't do a lot of times for the sake of time, is go to a lot of scripture. But Paul the apostle said in 1 Corinthians 1:26-31, he said, by the way, brethren, look out among you. Not many mighty, not many noble, not many, are called, but God has chosen weak things that he might be magnified and glorified in what is done in and through the church. Amen. In fact, I'll be honest with you, but people got to be very careful who gets the credit, the glory, and the honor for what God does. Amen. I heard a preacher one time brag about his ministry, you know, a real big ministry. An independent, fundamental Baptist preacher got up bragging. Hey, you ever come to my church, he said, you'll see our parking lot, you'll think it's a doctor's convention or a lawyer's convention. What is he implying? He's implying when you see these cars, these people got money. In fact, let me just say this. Many times when you go into a church like that, you actually say, oh, this is why they have what they have. When you walking through the Mercedes Benzes, brand new and this, that, and the other, you say, oh, this must be why they got what they got, because these people got the money. Wouldn't you imply? I would think that. In fact, listen, your church ought to look like there's a bunch of lawyers that are at accident scenes. I don't know if you got me on that one. Lawyers chase down accident scenes, try to, you know what I mean? You ought to have mixture, amen? It's not just a certain class of people. It's everybody, amen? Rich and poor meet together. The Lord's the maker of them all, amen? But nonetheless, I'm saying this, that you and I have a role to play, but we don't have what it takes. We don't have what it takes to start churches. We don't have what it takes to maintain church. It's not just money, and it's not just building, and it's not just that. It takes the Lord, amen? We all have a role to play on the stage of this life, and in of ourselves, we don't have what it takes to play them. Therefore, we must look to the unseen hand. In fact, John 15:4 says this. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, through Christ, we can do all things. Amen. In fact, let me just, by way of illustration, by the way, Paul the apostle knew this. He said, I'm the least of all saints. Amen. I'm the least of the apostles, if you will. He said, and I am not sufficient of myself. In fact, he says in another text, our sufficiency as ministers even is of God. Amen. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves. Amen. In fact, he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. In fact, you remember when God called Gideon, Gideon had to take a double look. You remember during that day when the angel of the Lord appeared up and said, hey, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. He's like, who are you talking to? Gideon didn't see himself as a mighty man of valor, amen? In fact, Gideon was a weak man who actually had to be confirmed by the Lord. You sure, Lord? You sure you want me, amen? By the way, that's who God's looking for. Not somebody says, Lord, I'm here and you know, you really got something when you got me. Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, you know, almost you got to almost be like, you sure, Lord? You sure? And the Lord confirmed to Gideon, I'm sure. In fact, he said, I'll tell you what, go down to the host that you're going to fight against and go listen to what they're saying about some dream that one man had. He had a dream of a barley loaf rolling into the camp and destroying the camp, if you will. And the other one said, hey, this is Gideon. By the way, two types of bread in the Bible. You had barley and you had wheat. Barley was the poor. Gideon said, I'm a poor man. I'm from a poor family. We're nobodies. We're nothing. God said, good, you're what I need. Amen. In fact, he started out with what, 32,000 men? You know what the Lord said? Too many. What do you mean too many? If you get the victory with that many, you'll get the glory. I won't get the glory. And so he said, let's take it down. Took it down 10,000 to about 22,000. And God said, no, still too many. Too many for who? Too many for me. God said, you're still going to take credit. Let's bring it on. He took him down to 300. When God took him down to 300, God said, okay, now I can get glorified because people are going to say, this couldn't happen without the Lord. Amen. Gideon had to wing it. Amen. He didn't have what it took. He didn't have it all together, but he had somebody who could help him to do what needed to be done. Amen. Looking back over almost 41 years, you can see how God's been involved. How God has done this, that, and the other thing, amen? And so the conclusion is, you know what? We've been winging it for 41 years. We're going to just have to keep on winging it. We're going to have to keep on depending on God for everything we need, amen? Let me say this. God has and gives to his people the ability, the supernatural ability to play the roles that we must play, amen? By the way, let me just say this. God always has done that for his people and with his people, amen? God, by the way, you and I, if we're going to be strong, we got to be weak. Amen. Let me just give you this thought. We're at Exodus, right? And I brought us up to this point here. God's people have always had to wing it. Now, I want to just take a few moments and I want to focus on the nation of Israel. In fact, the nation of Israel is in the news big time right now, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, they're God's chosen people. God has, by the way, church did not replace Israel. Amen. God still has a plan for Israel. If you don't believe that, you can read Romans chapter number 9, 10, and 11. It'll tell you about that. Amen. God has a plan for the nation of Israel. Amen. No doubt about it. But I want to just say this. You and I today, we that are saved are God's people. And as Israel as a nation, as God's people have been winging it forever, you and I need to wing it too. We need to depend on God and trust the Lord. Let me give you some thoughts. The first thing I want you to notice about the nation of Israel, Israel winged it out of Egypt. They couldn't get out on their own. Amen. I want you to look at Exodus chapter number 19. Let's look at verse number 1-4. Exodus chapter 19, 1-4. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mountain. Verse number 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and to the and tell the children of Israel. Key verse, look at verse number 4. You have seen what I did. There's the emphasis, right? Unto the Egyptians, and how, look at the next statement, I bear you, how? On eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You see, the nation of Israel winged it out of Egypt. They were on the wings of God, amen? It was by the power and the ability of God that the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Amen. By the way, that's a great picture of our salvation. Before we're saved, we're stuck in Egypt. We're stuck in the world. Amen. But by a supernatural act of God, and we get saved and we get out of that world. Amen. In fact, that's what God's doing in the church today. He's calling out a people from the world unto himself. Amen. We could not in and of ourselves have the power and the ability to get loose from Pharaoh, if you will, and from the captivity in and of ourselves. But by the power of God, we can wing it out of there. Amen. The nation of Israel winged it out of the land of Egypt, which is a great picture of salvation. Now, let me take you to another text. I want you to turn with me for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Bear with me, there's a method to my madness. Deuteronomy 32. I'm taking a gander at the nation of Israel, and in the different, every text, four texts we're going to look at, every text you'll see the emphasis of wings, be it God's wings or the fact that God gives wings. Amen. The nation of Israel, from their beginning, has wung it. Amen, has wung it. They winged it out of the land of Egypt. Let me give you the next statement. When they got out of the land of Egypt, they didn't have to say, well, we don't need God anymore. When they winged it by the power of God out of the land of Egypt, they found themselves in the desert. They found themselves in the wilderness. They found themselves in a place where they still needed God. Amen. In fact, some people get saved and then they drop the Lord. No. You need him to get saved and you need him to get through. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Amen. And all we need to do is what? Follow. Now the verses, the key verses is 1 to 14, which I'm not going to look at. Let's look at verses 9 to 12. This is an emphasis that the children of Israel get this. The second thought I want you to get. Not only did they wing it out of Egypt, but they winged it through the wilderness. Their travels through the wilderness those 40 years was a supernatural act of God. They could have never made it that long and that far without God, without the provisions of water, without the provisions of manna. Their shoes didn't wear out. It was an act of God, a supernatural. They say when you try to estimate how much water it would take to take care of that nation and how much food it would take to take care of that nation, God had to do it. And by the way, he did it. The nation of Israel winged it out of Egypt. They winged it through the wilderness. And that's what this talks about. Look at verse number 9. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says this. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Verse number 10. Get this emphasis. He found them where? In a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. And he what? Led them what? About. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. You see, it was God's doing when they got through that. They had enemies. They had fights. They had many things. But God kept them and provided for them and protected them. Look at verse 11. As what? An eagle. There's the wings, right? As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her what? Wings. Taketh them. And here's the emphasis. Beareth them on her wings. Verse number 12. So the Lord alone did lead them. Give credit to him, not false gods. You see, the God of heaven gave them the ability to get out of Egypt where they were stuck. And then when they got out, they were in the wilderness. And because, by the way, let me just throw this out. Because of their own sin, they were stuck in the wilderness. Somebody said what should have took about 11 days took 40 years. Because of their lack of faith to go in and conquer the land that God promised them, God had said, you're going to journey in the wilderness for 40 years. Here's what I want you to note. In spite of the fact that their wandering was their fault, God still took care of them. Amen? And that's a wonderful way. He took care of them in a supernatural. They winged it out of Egypt. They winged it through the wilderness, depending on the power and provisions of God. Amen? But that's not all. And by the way, let me just say this. Oh, boy. Israel as a nation, by the way, is still winging it today. You say, what does that mean? God's still protecting them. God is still protecting that nation. Amen? Listen, God's people, Israel, like God's word, the Bible, have been tried to be destroyed by many enemies. But they couldn't do it, and they can't do it. Amen? No doubt about it. If you want a proof of for the existence of God, look at the nation of Israel. Amen? Let me give you the next thought. Turn to Revelation. I'm trying to be quick, so bear with me. I know I'm speaking fast, so listen fast if you would. Look at Revelation chapter number 12. I'm just saying, look, we got to take a look back at the nation of Israel, and we got to see how God did a mighty work getting them out of Egypt, how God did a mighty work getting them through the wilderness. Now forget about looking back. How about this? Let's take a look forward. Hey, looking back at what God did for the nation of Israel is one thing, but we have a word in this book that tells us what God will do for the nation of Israel in the future. Amen? Because he's not done with them. Look at Revelation chapter number 12, if you would please. Look at verse number 13 and 14. Revelation, boy, I got to get there. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 13 and 14. Amen. Let me just say this. Israel will wing it through the tribulation period. In fact, more perfectly, they'll wing it through the great tribulation period. The time when the devil, the Antichrist, will do what he can do to try to stamp out that nation. Amen? But watch what happens. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 13 and 14. The Bible says this. And when the dragon, oh boy, we know who that is. When the dragon, the devil, when he saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's Israel, which brought forth the man child, that's Jesus. Amen? Look at verse number 14. And to the woman, get this, were given two what? Wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That's 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. You say, what is that? What is going on here? God will give Israel the supernatural ability to evade being destroyed by the devil, by the Antichrist. Amen. Look, we look back and we see that they've been winging it for a long time. We look forward and see they're going to have to wing it still. Amen. Look at verse number 6 of the same chapter. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse number 6. If you would, please. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. How about that? That they should feed her there 1,203 score days, 3.5 years. But I'll tell you what, you know, God did this before, right? Not with a nation, but with an individual. For about 3.5 years. Right? Elijah. Absolutely. A famine came to the land of Israel. And God told Elijah, Elijah, go down to the brook. You'll be able to get some water there. And by the way, it was ravens that fed him. You say some people think that the ravens actually, you know how they get things, they get animals and other things. They believe that they actually came by and dropped them off to feed him. And when the brook dried up, God said, okay, now I need you to go to a widow. And I'm going to take care of there. Let me tell you what you got. You got a selfish raven and you got a poor widow. God is going to use selfish ravens and poor widows to take care of his people, his man. Only God can do that. Amen. Only God can take a selfish natured thing and turn it around to make it drop food down. And only God can take a woman who has just very little. In fact, she's about ready to eat it and die. And yet God provides for her supernaturally. Amen. Boy, they've been winging it for a long time and they're going to wing it. Amen. Israel winged it out of Egypt. They winged it through the wilderness. They're going to wing it through the tribulation. And let me close with this one. Turn to Malachi chapter number 4. No, I don't want you to only go to Malachi chapter 4. Just saw another verse here we're going to see real quickly. Turn to Isaiah chapter 63 as well. Isaiah 63, if you can handle two places, please. Isaiah 63, I know it's hard for some to chew gum and walk, but Isaiah 63, look at verse number, we'll look at that in a moment. Isaiah 63, and then get yourself somewhere in Malachi. I'm just saying, look, Israel, God's people, have been winging it for a long time, and they're going to have to wing it for a long time. They've been depending on God, even when they don't realize it, amen? Because God keeps his promises, amen? And you and I, how have we made it this far? We've been winging it. Oh, no, we didn't have it all together, and we still don't. We've been winging it, and we're going to have to keep on winging it. We're going to have to keep on depending on God, amen? Look at Isaiah. Let's read Isaiah first. Isaiah chapter 63. Look at beginning of verse number 7. And by the way, when you study the book of Isaiah, it's like a miniature Bible. When you get to these texts that we're in, you're talking about the millennial kingdom, right? Let me just say this. Israel winged it out of Egypt. They winged it through the wilderness. They're going to wing it through the tribulation. They're going to wing it on into the millennial kingdom. Amen? You see, from beginning to end, they are going to wing it. Amen? Look at Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses. I like that word. That's plural right there, right? I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us as Israel, if you will, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Verse 8, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. He was their what? Savior. Now they're in the millennial kingdom talking about this, giving credit to God. Look at verse 9. In all their affliction, he was what? Afflicted. You see, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Now get the next statement. And the angel of his presence saved them. Talking about the nation of Israel. In his love and in his pity, he what? Redeemed them. Now get the next statement. And he did what? He bare them. Now you're talking about the eagle carrying a nation. And carried them all the days of old. It's like that footprints in the sand. You know, you see two footprints or two sets of footprints walking. And then all of a sudden the man says, Lord, I noticed that there's only one now. What happened? Why did you leave me? He said, I didn't leave you. I'm carrying you. Amen. Now turn to Malachi, if you would, please. Do we get it? Is this simple enough? I try to make it as simple as possible. I'm just saying, look, let's look at the history of God's people. How have they been? How did they make it? How are they making it? How will they make it? Well, that's how God's people make it. That's how we're going to have to make it. We're going to have to wing it. We're going to have to depend on God for everything. Amen. Look at Malachi chapter number 4. Look at verse number 1 and 2, if you would, please. Malachi chapter number 4, verse number 1 and 2. It says this, for behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven. We're talking about the tribulation here. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, and the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Talking about the tribulation period. But after the tribulation is what? The millennial kingdom. But watch verse number 2. But unto you that fear my name. He's speaking to the nation of Israel and to that group that were believers. Shall the Son of Righteousness. That's the dawning of a new day right there. The day of the Lord shall arise with. What's the next statement? With healing what? In his wings. This is going on into the millennial kingdom. Looking at the history of Israel, looking at the future of Israel, they don't have it. They're small. They're small in comparison. Amen? But they got a big God. How can a small nation, how can a small, never despise the day of small things? Little as much. When God is in it, we got 5,000 men beside women and children. We have no food. There's a little lad with a few loaves and a few fishes. One of the apostles said, what are they among so many? In the hands of God, they're enough to feed everybody with some leftovers. Amen. Little as much when God is in it. Amen. Looking at God's dealings with the nation of Israel, we see the picture of God's dealings with us today. He saves us, he keeps us, and he guides us. Amen. One day at a time. We need to just make sure we're weak and we don't think we got it. Don't step on the stage of life saying, I don't need anybody behind the wings. I've memorized. I've got it all together. You might just find yourself, he that thinketh he stands, take heed lest you fall. Amen. See, he giveth strength to them that have no might. To them that are weak, he increaseth power. Amen. Is what the scriptures say. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. How have we made it this far? Been winging it. 41 years been winging it. Don't never have it all together. And by the way, we'll never have it all together until we're all together up there. Amen. But until then, may we all realize we are weak, but we have a big God. He's got us this far, thus far. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither far, hither, up to this point, God has led us and has helped us. Amen. Paul said, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. We've made it this far by him, and we'll make it the rest of the way by him. Amen. And may God help us to always wing it. Looking at the unseen hand for guidance. Amen. Let's pray, and then our brother, I guess, could be able to come. I think we hopefully have some more time for some hymns. Father, thank you for the word. I pray that the history of Israel and the future of Israel would encourage us. Small, but we have a big God. We don't do these things based on our own power and strength and our own ability. No, you choose the nobodies to magnify and glorify yourself in what you do. And I pray that you, Lord, thank you for using this church for 41 years to be in this place, being a light shining in this dark place. And Lord, I pray you'll continue to guide and direct, that it might continue to be the lighthouse, Lord, in this community. It's for the lost around this place and also for the saved that need to just continue to learn the precious word of God. Lord, we ask for your strength and your grace for the preacher and his family in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
All right. Sound good to you?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Number 101. One in the 101 book. There we go. Tongues are there. Another good song about heaven.
Thank you.
16, okay. 16 in the 101 book. can't ask for a better way for a Christian to approach a new year. Every year, we have to ask the Lord, renew my heart's vision to seek you and your will. We really should be doing that every single day. But instead of the so-called resolutions that the world gives, where all it does is change the outside and nothing really happens, we need heart change. And that's exactly what the end of that song says. The prayer to the Lord is, here's my heart. Take and seal it for that course above. All right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we've had to be here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your preacher who followed your plan in teaching and preaching to us what we needed to hear. And we pray that we would take what's been given us and apply it to our hearts and lives, not just in the week to come, but as you tarry throughout the rest of our lives, that we may be found faithful to you.
Yes.
And we pray that you would give safety as we travel home, and may we come again on Wednesday night, those who are able, to enjoy another time of fellowship, one with another. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.